I'm Lisa Zamuda. I'm a focus coach and business coach who is forward coaching. So what I'm talking about is the 9 ever-present distractions that keep us from fully living. And number 9 is the presence of indifference. The world is a big place and we have much to offer. Those who choose to live as a victim will always miss their opportunity to give. Additionally, those who choose to adopt an indifference in the world around them will miss out on their greatest potential. But those who recognize need and seek to do something about it experience a joy and fulfillment that can never be discovered anywhere else. So these are the silent distractions. And now part 2 is we're going to talk about the 6 lies that are holding you back from success. Okay, so before we get into that, I just want you to know that the world is full of distraction. Every single one of us has it. There is no one out there right now that is not living in distraction. You cannot get away from it. Even if you try to go off the grid, nearly impossible. We are a very connected world, digitally and otherwise. And the most dangerous things are the things we do not recognize about ourselves. And this is what causes stress, and this is what causes meltdowns in our personal lives and in our businesses. So the 6 lies that I got this from this book, The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. It's a very, very interesting book. I've read it about 5 times. The first 2 times I read it, it did not sink in. In fact, Gary Keller himself will say that you may feel like I'm scolding you in this book because I wrote this book with my only child, my only son in mind. And this is a lesson for him as well as everyone else we wrote it for. The 6 lies that are holding you back from the one thing. Everything matters equally. Anyone who lives by priority understands that some things are just more important than others. However, many people are fooled into believing that everything has equal importance. When we realize that everything does not matter equally, we can debunk the lie that keeps us from prioritizing our tasks and focusing on what matters most. So I'm going to give you an example of what this means in my life and where I live. So I'm in a culture, Minnesota, and this is Minnesota Nice. And we're known to be nice, and we're known to treat everyone fairly and equally. And so we are programmed, really, from very young age to just, you know, it's kind of like first come, first serve. Nobody's more important than anybody else. And so you're programmed to do that in your own life and in your own business. And this is a major distraction because these are the disruptions and distractions that pull you off your success list. If you are answering questions just because they are in front of you and they're just there at that moment and you think, well, it all matters equally, well, then that's a big, big problem. It's not a priority, and we have to start thinking about the programming we received from our families, from society, and start realizing that this doesn't make us unfair or mean. It makes us focused. Number 2, multitasking. As we become increasingly overwhelmed with information and media to-dos, the habit of multitasking becomes more common because we're working on multiple things at once. We believe we're being more productive. And the truth is, multitasking slows us down and prevents us from fully focusing on anything. So there was a study done, and I don't have the name of the study, and I don't have the year, but it is something that people actually are not multitasking. In fact, multitasking was a word that was invented to describe a PC. And really what it is that a personal computer can switch between tasks very quickly because it's a computer. But somehow we attached it to people and actually gave it a trade and said that it was actually something that we saw as good. And actually no one can really multitask, really. All they can do is switch between tasks quickly, and that's not a good thing. Number 3, a disciplined life. It is not interchangeable with success, yet many of us think that a highly disciplined person is more likely to be successful. The reality is we need to train ourselves to be selective and focus on the discipline that is the right discipline that will tip into good habits and change our lives. So again, a disciplined life is not necessarily a focused life, and it's not necessarily applying discipline to the right parts, which are the 20% that will tip into the 80% results. And here's my favorite. I highlighted this in red because I use this in my daily dialogue with my spouse and family. Willpower is not on will call. So if my husband will bring up a conversation, let's say at the end of the day, and let's say it's kind of like on a scale of 1 to 10, let's say it ranks like at an 8 of importance. If I feel like this conversation is going to require a ton of mental energy, I will just say to him, Mike, willpower is not a will call. Like, I don't have the willpower to bring my best effort to this conversation. So could we talk about that in the morning when I'm fresh? Or could we talk about that Saturday morning? So willpower isn't always on will call. It doesn't need to be turned on all the time for success to be realized. In fact, it just needs to be turned on at precise moments. And in a constant supply of willpower, it's not even possible. Because if you think of your cell phone battery, when you open it in the morning, it has its largest and most strong charge. And then by 2 o'clock, sometimes our batteries are low and we need to recharge them. Well, that second charge is never as strong as the first. So think about that when it comes to your own energy, your own body, your own motivation. It ebbs and flows all day. And so think about that when it comes to prioritizing the most important tasks of the day and doing them first thing. And doing them in order of importance and difficulty. Actually, I always tell my clients, eat that frog. It's actually a book. Do the hardest task first, because the rest of your day will go better. If you put it off, believe it or not, that procrastination is zapping very important energy of your willpower. Because if you're thinking about it, even if it just pops into your mind once in a while, guaranteed your subconscious has latched onto it. So that was number 5. Number 6, a balanced life. Everyone strives for balance and a balanced life where everything is all handled perfectly and all at once. Unfortunately, that just isn't doable. Instead, the one thing authors advocate for something called counterbalancing. And this is taking your life and looking where you have to apply extreme focus and extreme effort, and then looking at the parts of your life that it impacts the most extreme and an extreme polarity the opposite way. So for example, if you are an entrepreneur, a real estate agent, own your own business, and you have to do a lot of nights and weekends because it's a necessary part of the function of your job, then you must also look at who is that impacting and how can I take an extreme counterbalance on that part of my life to make sure that I am not forgetting anything. You can't make it perfectly balanced all day long. It's just not a possibility. So, and by the way, it's really a great way to think about how we can be very forgiving with ourselves. We don't have to think that we have to live in this constant balance of perfection. It doesn't work that way with your diet, your exercise, your business, nothing. So, number 6. So we've done 5 of them. Everything matters equally. Multitasking, a disciplined life. Willpower is on will call. A balanced life is number 5. And number 6, the biggest lie we tell ourselves is big is bad. When we think small, success is small. If our goals aren't big enough, they end up holding us back. But when we go bigger and think outside the box, we actually act bolder, and it virtually guarantees we'll see success. So I know this just seems kind of like a very topical kind of coverage of this. If you want more about the one thing, I advise that you would read the book. It's amazing. I'm just covering a very, what's the word for it? Kind of like an agenda snapshot of this, because I want to make sure not to get too deep into this. You have questions? If you have questions for me, you can always ask me. I'm Lisa@forwardcoaching.com, and I will give you my cell phone number at the end as well. A thing I want to say about big is bad is that sometimes you have to go small to go big. And again, going small, what does that mean? That means a laser focus on what activities are you going to be doing each day that are going to compound themselves and cause your success, therefore causing you freedom to, like, let's say in the beginning, you don't have the money for an admin. Well, if you do the disciplines of a top-notch professional high producer, you will tip into the profits that buy you the leverage so that you can continue to do the things you're good at. So again, That's what focus buys for you. It buys for you the ability to leverage off the things you're bad at and lean into the things you're good at. So I love this part. This is my best part. Strategies for better focus. So this is actually the lead gen strategies that I told you about in the beginning. These seem so basic and so evident. I hope that you understand that it's not rocket science. It's really, really easy, you guys. It's just a matter of agreeing to it and actually doing it. So the first one is, believe it or not, use the restroom before you start your lead gen time block and bring provisions like water, coffee, and snacks. Okay, you guys, I'm like literally stumbling on my own words. Bring provisions like water, coffee, and snacks. Number two, build that bunker by closing and locking your door and post a note if you need to that says, no knocking, no disturbing, please. And only open one tab on your computer at a time. And that's the tab that'll be your CRM, most likely. And that tab is for you to record everything you're doing in your lead gen, to add to your database, to add notes. But multiple tabs are multiple temptations. I'm going to say it again. Multiple tabs open at the top of your screen mean multiple temptations. And I'm guilty of it too. I mean, if Facebook is there and I see a little hit, a little ding, and then if you know your email's up and you see a little ding, I mean, let's face it, we are all programmed to react to the dopamine hits that are caused by the technology alerts. Really, that's the addiction there. You see a little alert, you want to click on it. It's like we're programmed to do that. But if you don't have those tabs up, you'll never be tempted. And this is probably one of the hardest ones of all. Do not answer emails when you are in your time block. They can wait. Do not answer inbound calls or texts. Oh my gosh, this will probably be the single hardest thing, especially the texts, because you think it's just taking a few seconds out of my time. But the truth is it's not. It's taking you probably maybe the person will text back and then another text will happen and another, and then maybe this will be a full conversation that takes like 4 minutes. And again, now we're talking about that switch cost where it could take you another 10 to 25 minutes to refocus. So think about that when I ask you not to take in phone calls or texts. No cheating, no checking social media, no distractions. No answering the door for 3 hours. Even if you only did this, you guys, Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, if you only did it 3 days a week, you will see your business grow. You will see your focus grow. You will see your discipline and habits grow. Because the truth is, and I learned this at a regional meeting at a very large brokerage one time. I was shocked when I did it. I immediately put it into play. And it is that most people, like 90% of the time, 9 out of 10 people will solve their own problems while you're in your time block. Again, repeat, if you don't answer the door, that person who's knocking on the door will most likely go find another person that will help them answer their question, or they'll find it on their own. Because let's face it, as people, the path of least resistance is the easiest, and it's just easy to, like, whoever's walking by, just ask them a question. It's harder for me to, you know, go into the Play Store or go into my settings and, like, find all these pathways to fix something. It's just easier to stop someone in the hall walking by me and ask them. So those are the 7 bunker strategies for lead gen. And so now this is the part of our little chat today that we're going to have an interactive kind of script play. I'm going to say the script, and then you're going to, well, I'm sorry, I'm going to say the objection or the challenge, and you're going to say the script. And the favorite script for this is love to, can't now. So it's super short. It's just 4 words, love to, can't now. So I'm going to say 4 different things. And you guys as a group, don't disappoint me, are going to say love to, can't now. Okay, so I'm just at work and I'm going to just, you know, walk to my office because I'm heading into my time block for lead gen. And someone stops me and says, can you help me log into the portal? What do you guys say? Excellent. I guess you're all on mute. Love to, can't now. And the next one, can I ask you a quick question? Like, isn't that always the one? Like, can I ask you a quick question? You're going to say the four words, love to, can't know. Will you help us hand out pies at this event coming up? It's like the week before Thanksgiving, and we want to hand out like 10,000 pumpkin pies. Could you be there? Could you like sign up? Like, we need someone in the 10 to 11 a.m. slot. Well, no, you can't. If it's on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, the week before Thanksgiving, oh, no, contrary. You guys are working in your time block, your lead gen time block. So what do you say? Love to, can't now. And you keep walking, by the way. Just keep walking. And the last one, will you sign up to be the room mom? Now, I'm taking this kind of towards parenthood because everybody can be guilted into this stuff. Will you be a chaperone for the next field trip? Will you help with this fundraiser? I mean, all you have to do is really is like walk door to door to 1,000 homes in the subdivision and sell wrapping paper for our team, whatever. And so what do you say, you guys? Love to, can't now. This is probably going to be one of the hardest things for you to break through. This idea of having to be liked at all times, having to be popular at all times, having to be perceived as a team player at all times. You can be a team player at almost all times, except for the time when you are in your laser-focused time bunker, and that's your time block, 8 to 11. And for, I'm just giving you 8 to 11. For you, it might be bigger, longer, different times, but just remember, nothing good happens in the afternoon when it comes to lead gen. Prospecting, yes. Marketing, yes. Networking, yes. But in the morning is when you have your willpower, and that's when you're going to do the hard stuff. And by the way, you can make that fun too. It doesn't have to be hard. So I'm looking at our time here, making sure we're still good. All right. So let's talk about some of the habits of a focused life. I could spend 8 hours talking about this. So what I've done is I've reduced it to just some basic ones. And if you want more in-depth ideas, just let me know. I can send them to you. In fact, most of these habits that I have here, I've broken down to a greater degree and with very, very specific action items. So if you're interested in that, let me know. So some of the habits of a focused life. Each week, take one day completely off. No business phone, no emails, no work. Just make it your day to think and plan. If you look at some of the leaders in our industry, in other industries, the top thinkers, what they call thought leaders, are people that take at least one day off. Some of them take a couple days off just to think and plan and read and pour into themselves. So for me, I'm not in the league of some of the, you know, people up there just yet. Maybe someday, hopefully. But for me, a whole day off might actually trigger more distractions. So for me, I like to take 2 half days off, but then I have to truly stick to those half days being no work. And I mean, power the phone down. Now, have I provoked people? Yeah, I've provoked people. People say to me, oh my God, where were you for 4 hours? I thought you were dead. Well, guess what? That was my time block. That was my time. I actually was off the grid, and you don't need to know where I was. I mean, we have gotten to this point where we've made ourselves so available that people think our car is in a ditch if we like unplug for an hour. It's really almost gotten crazy. So think about that. And also another big one is schedule your vacations in advance. Everyone needs something to look forward to and some time to totally unwind. You know, if you can't hit a target that you can't even see, I think that's Zig Ziglar. And so if you jump on a treadmill and you never have a goal, you say, you know, you don't have the goal of running 5 miles or 10 miles or whatever it is. If you just jump on the treadmill and start running and just keep going, what do you think is going to happen? Eventually, you're going to lose focus. You're going to lose energy and you're going to collapse. So what do you think happens in a career where you never have a conclusion, an intermittent conclusion? You need to have moments in your year where it's like, oh yeah, this is my intermittent conclusion. Here's where we're at on our goals. It's the end of quarter 2. You know, here's what I need to do. And I'm going for a week to Boundary Waters to go fishing or hunting. And I'm going for a week with my cousins and girlfriends to Mexico. Something like that, or we're taking parent-teacher week off and going to Orlando. It has to be something where you have an intermittent conclusion, because just to jump on, you know, the treadmill and keep going, that's just just not how we are wired. We're wired for beginning, middle, and end, and for that to be repeated. So think about that and make sure you schedule your vacation. Nothing pains me more than to hear someone say, must be nice to go on vacation. Well, everyone can go on vacation if they plan it in advance, work it into their P&L, work it into their budget, and, you know, assess where they're going to need to have, what kind of money they'll need, and, you know, how they're going to divide it. Anybody can go on vacation. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You can even do a staycation. But remember, you need to unplug once in a while. The world, believe it or not, I went on vacation a couple times in the Arctic Circle, and I didn't have any cell phone for like 2 weeks, and the world did not stop spinning on its axis. So that's what I found out. It all kept going. Spend time with your family. Make sure you connect with them with non-distracted time, gratitude journaling. And this is another hard one. Cell phones checked at the door, TV off, radio off, all media off. You know, if you're going to have dinner with your family, 1 whole hour of just zero media is brilliant. It is really actually, it lowers your heart rate. You feel better and more connected. And it's important for people to be able to communicate face to face and eye to eye and not always be looking down at something else, because actually we've grown so accustomed to it, to see people looking at their phones. But it's actually kind of rude if you really think about it. If you're in a restaurant, you look around and you see people looking at their phones while they're facing each other in a booth, it's kind of sad, actually. So this is why I make it an intention to make sure that the phones are not part of that. Before you go to sleep every night, create an outline of what you want to accomplish the following 7 to 10 days. So if you understand, like, the first one will be the hardest of kind of figuring out the next 7 to 10 days. But if you are, like, viewing it every night just for a few minutes, you're constantly building on that. And so it's not really hard to know what you're going to be doing for the next 2 weeks at all times. I do a brain dump, and then in the morning I extract the top 5 money-making activities from that. I don't want to go to bed at night and then wake up in the middle of the night thinking, oh no, I forgot to email somebody. That is not a focused mind. That is actually a very distracted mind. If you're waking up in the night like with a panic attack because you forgot to do something, that's evidence for you that you should be doing a brain dump before you go to sleep. It's important not to just think about it either. It's actually important to let it flow from your mind through your arm, out through the pen. It does 2 things. It organizes your life in advance, and it allows your subconscious mind to relax and let go. And this is really, really important to do this Monday through Friday. And a lot of people leave a little pad of paper by their bed, because again, you're allowing your subconscious mind to let go. This idea that I can just put it there and now I don't have to think about it anymore. It's pretty important. You can find one thing a day that makes your day better. Each of us have things that we love, enjoy doing. So when we're working on top production and highly focused and highly scheduled, every once in a while, we need to have some fun in there. So take a walk, read a book, visit a friend, listen to favorite music, buy a treat, or visit a favorite place. That's really, really big. Take a nap. Studies suggest that occasional 12 to 20 minutes of sleep midday during the week will recharge you and rejuvenate you and get you more focused. And this is especially true for people who wake up somewhere between 4:30 a.m. and 6 a.m. and people who exercise first thing in the morning. So I don't nap myself. However, I'm not saying I won't. So think about it. If you're exhausted, you know, like right after lunch, maybe a 12-minute nap would help you. Ask more questions. Don't fear rejection. You need to ask people in all situations for what you want. It's what kids do, and it's what works. Ask, and you'll often receive. So I'm a really big proponent of fail fast, fail forward, and fail often, because it is the 5-second rule. You know, I don't talk myself out of it. I just go and ask. I mean, there are no such thing as dumb questions, right? So just ask. And, you know, you can't ever get closer to mastery in anything if you aren't asking questions and coming from curiosity in all things you do. Last 2. And then we will open this up to a Q&A. Be consistent and persistent. Don't give up on something only after a couple tries. It can often take a few years to make you an overnight success. And by the way, a few years is only 36 months. That's really not that much. So post your vision board and your Wordles and look at them daily and decide that your goals are firmly in the crosshairs and that your resolve is immovable. I'm going to repeat this. Decide that your goals, what they are, and that they are firmly in the crosshairs and your resolve is immovable. Keep your promises. This is my last point here, you guys. I love this. Keep your promises. Always do what you say you will do, sometimes more, just never less. Most people don't follow through and do what they say they will do. Stay in focus, and you must make your efforts a never-ending habit to strive for excellence. And make sure you promote that fact in emails or calls to clients and let them know, got blank done, just as promised. I'm calling you back as I promised. Say this to them. And that will reinforce your commitment to them. I just love that so much. So that is what I wanted to cover today. And I just want to ask you at this point, because we have exactly 15 minutes left of this call, do you have any questions for me about focusing and some of those strategies that I just offered up? And can they talk? I guess we have no questions. All right. Well, no questions at all. I am going to read you the inside cover then of this book written by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan. And by the way, this is not a real estate book. This is a business book, and it's a focus tool. You want fewer distractions and less on your plate. The barrage of emails, texts, calls, and meetings keep you from your most important work. The simultaneous demands of work and family take a toll. What's the cost? Second-rate work, missed deadlines, and smaller paychecks, and lots of stress. You want more productivity, more income for a better lifestyle, and you want more satisfaction from life, more time for yourself, your family, and your friends. So you can have both, less and more. You can cut the clutter, achieve better results, dial down the stress, overcome the overwhelmed feeling, revive your energy, and stay on track. I guess what I'll leave you with today is the question that is the focusing question, and that is asking you guys, what's the one thing you can do today that would make everything else easier or unnecessary? Ask yourself that question. So again, this is Lisa Zamuda with Forward Coaching, your focus coach here. And my email is lisa@forwardcoaching.com. And my cell phone is 810-357-8404. That's 810-357-8404. And
Lisa, I see a comment here on the sidebar from Jackson. He says he has a question. Jackson, okay. If you want to go ahead and type your question into the chat box, Lisa can address that for you right now.
Perfect.
He's asking, what are your tips on finishing books? I always get halfway through and give up or then pick up something else.
Okay, well, I didn't totally catch that. It kind of faded off, but I will tell you this. So yeah, I have a big stack of books at all times. In fact, congratulations on the fact that you are reading books. That is really an activity of a top producer. When it comes to books, I always read the last chapter first. I do that because, not to be anticlimactic and find out, but I want to know, okay, is this book worth my time? So I read the last chapter, then I go ahead and read the first, and then I decide if I'm going to read the in-between, or I may just skim over. But that's what, this is busting bad habits, and one of the bad habits is to start a book and then read three chapters and then forget about it. And nothing feels more discouraging than to not do what you say you will do, especially for yourself. So for me, this is about front-loading my life with successes. And so, you know, if a book looks amazing, if it's such an amazing recommendation, and I start with the back, then I do front, and I work through the chapters and kind of speed read over them. And I always have a highlighter with me, and I always take notes. And really, the truth is, sometimes books, it all depends on the style, but sometimes books can be not your thing. I mean, maybe they're not the style of writing that you like. So don't beat yourself up. If you don't like the book, put it down and find a new book that does inspire you. You should know within the first, you know, maybe 10 minutes if you're going to be inspired and you're learning something. So don't feel bad if you don't want it. And another thing is, don't leave it in your eyesight then. If it's donate it, you know, don't let it sit there like a bad, like, you know, stimulating your bad conscience. Let it be. Let it go. All right. So anybody else?
All right. One more question from Steven. Yeah. Steven's asking, my 411 often gets tucked away and unused after filling it out. What are some recommendations you have to ensure I'm making progress and using it more often?
Okay. One thing you can do is, and this is like ridiculously simple, post it in front of you. In fact, post it in a couple places. So a couple of years ago, I had the same problem. I had all these incredible tools and templates to use to create these goals, and then I tucked them away. And then I was like, why can't I remember to do this stuff? Because what is in front of you is what you remember. And by the way, you have to see something several times for it to actually register. So what I did is I printed off my 411 and I put it in a Padfolio thing that I carried around to take notes, and I put it, I actually like taped it right into the front cover so that I was forced to look at that every day. And then also taped one right next to my desk. And right now I'm in an office that has mostly windows. So I'm kind of going through that withdrawal myself. I feel like I need to tape up my 135 again and my 411. So yeah, just keep it in front of you. I see, the chat box now, and I'm answering. Someone asked me, can you repeat the name of the book? And I am saying it's The One Thing by Gary Keller and Jane Papasan. So I did find the...
Looks like we do have Jackson asking another question. What's your favorite app to use for setting reminders or events on calendars? He's using iPhone reminders and Google Calendar.
Yeah, okay, so that's interesting. I actually had Calendly, and then I had Acuity, and I've used Google, but the truth is those can get obnoxious too. So if we're going to talk about this in pertaining to focus, I've actually disabled a lot of my Google reminders. They're like, I know you can set them, but it seems like they're almost too much. It's almost too many reminders. It's like getting obnoxious. It's like, I almost feel like it's like a bad, you know, parenting situation. I don't need to be told six times for something. So instead of like wondering which one's the best, I mean, Google's great. Just pay attention to what works for you and how often you want to be reminded, because that can be a massive distraction to constantly get these alerts and reminders. Yeah, it'll take you off course. So someone said another option is to read books and have them stream to you while you're driving. Yes, so that's awesome. A lot of people use Audible if you don't want to read at all. I know a lot of people that quote unquote multitask by listening to Audible while they're preparing dinner or whatever. So sometimes you can do two things at once, and it's not necessarily considered multitasking, especially if they're not both demanding the same amount of mental energy. If you're chopping celery and listening to an Audible book, that's okay. And in fact, doing multiple things to the same end is not the same as multitasking, because you know you may have to do five functions to get to the goal. So you have to do those five functions, put them in order of importance, tackle them in an order of importance, and then aim for the goal. When it becomes multitasking and a massive distraction is when they aren't all lined up for the goal. When they are like people asking questions about miscellaneous things, you know, football games, whatever. The paper's out or there's a jam in the copier. That's when it's not, lining up to the goal. That's when it's distractive and multitasking.
Steven's asking, what type of time blocking strategies would you then use around your 411 priorities?
Okay, well, the best thing to do is to have the same plan every week so that it becomes a habit, because once it's a habit, you know it's a habit when you don't do it and it feels weird. So the idea is, what do your days look like? How does Monday look? How does Tuesday look? How does Wednesday look? So know the time blocks during the day when you will do those activities that support your 411. So you need to decide them, and you need to put them down. They actually need to be calendared. And if you need additional help, I can help you by sending you a color coding plan. Some people do like to do yellow, pink, and green. They actually digitally or on paper, you can color code it, and you can see if you are applying yourself the right way during the week. You know, some people are visual with colors, and just writing it down isn't enough. But the marquee thing is, the actual time block itself. The time block supports the 411. And so again, back to like dialing it all the way down to the ridiculous. If you have 411 and it tells you, you know, what you need to do that day to support the goals for that week, well, you know, what is it in that day? Is it those, is it like 8 to 11? Is it 8 to 9? Is it, you know, 10 to 11? What exactly is a time block and exactly what are you doing in that time block? And again, breaking it all the way down within that time block, if it says I'm supposed to call this many people and email this many people, well, let's put it in order of priority. Which person is the most important person to get the most, you know, critical message out to, and get that done in order of priority. Get it done in the order of the ugly thing first, the hardest one. So if you may have to make a fierce phone call or a hard phone call, and it has to do with lead gen, someone you heard about, a friend from college, their spouse passed away suddenly at a young age. I mean, there's some very hard conversations around real estate and listing homes and getting business, because moving is in the top five stressors of everyone's life. So, you know, get the hardest one done first, because it's the best thing for your energy. And that's what I would say to 411. I think I just want to say in conclusion that everything can be solved with focus, because that's what we were talking about today. If you apply, even if you just apply 20% more focus to your day than you are doing right now, you will start to see your stress go down and your business get nicer. It's a nicer way to operate. It just feels better not to be dragged and pushed and pulled. It feels so much better to be the driver than to be always reacting. This is a way, if you do this at a high level, and by the way, I'm not perfect at it either. I struggle still every day. I make it an intention, though, to be better and better. If you figure this out and do it, and I mean, it's not that hard, you guys, you're going to be shocked at how much time you get back, how much peace of mind you get back, and how amazing it feels to actually do your job and get up and think, wow, I'm actually driving my success. This is amazing. So I really believe that all the other things, CRMs and shiny objects, because unless you have time blocks in place and focus in place, the rest of the stuff really is just a distraction. So yeah, that's my final comment. But again, you can reach me at lisa@forwardcoaching.com or call me 810-357-8404 with any other questions. And if you want any supporting documentation at all for anything we discuss, just let Shirley or Taylor or me know and we'll get it to you. So thank you so much for your time today, and make it a great rest of the week. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.